Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8. We'll read two verses of scripture, verses 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Amen. Would you hold your Bible close to your heart? Go to the Lord in prayer with me one more time here today. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you today. Father, we are grateful to be in your house this night. I'm grateful to feel your presence, God, and that to know that you are near. Lord, we know that your word is anointed. It is forever settled in heaven, Father. But I pray that you would anoint my lips of clay tonight, Father. I need your help to preach the word that you have given to me, God, that I may deliver my heart here this evening, God. I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear and our heart to understand, God, your word, that we may receive that engrafted word of the Lord, that we may hide your word in our hearts, God. Oh, God, that we may be more like you. Would you help us here tonight, God? Oh, Lord, you've already met with us here, God, but I pray that you would help us, Lord, and walk these aisles, meet with us in a special way, oh, God. Lord, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing tonight. Amen, amen. I'm grateful to feel the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in His name, that He would be there in the midst of them. Surely that is the truth. I feel His presence here, amen, in this house. Before I give you my title tonight, I want you to look at your neighbor, somebody sitting close by. Tell him we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. Smile at them. Let them know you're friendly, that you don't bite. We're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. I do want to tell you before I begin that before I announce my title, it is a borrowed title. It's not a borrowed message, but it is a borrowed title. Look at your neighbor, tell them it's a borrowed title. So just so you know, it's not original with me, but we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. I just feel it. I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. There's no need to be uptight. Nobody's on trial here tonight. It's just one of me standing up here, and I'm looking at all of your eyes looking back at me. So if anybody's to be nervous, it's going to be me. Amen. 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 I want to preach for a little while here tonight, if you'll help me, on this thought. I'm pregnant. How about you? Yeah, I know you're laughing, but you ain't going to be laughing in a minute. Amen. Amen. Look at your neighbor. Tell him I'm pregnant. How about you? I told you we're going to have a good time in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. Now, I know the setting here for Romans chapter number 8. Paul is writing here between verses 18 and 39. He's talking about the anticipation of and the fulfillment of glory. Amen. When all of God's creation will be delivered, as he said in verse number 18, Romans 8 and 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time," or the time right now, "they are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Oh, we're looking forward to that blessed hope today, aren't we? Amen. But now, stay with me. This is a very simple message, and if you come looking for some deep theological discussion tonight, you might just miss it. But I hope you're listening to me. I want the Lord to move here in this house tonight, and I believe He's going to. Amen. Verse 24 and 25, he mentions the word hope four times. Four times. Amen. And it doesn't take a Bible scholar to understand that when a word is repeated that many times, that quickly, or it's repeated, a phrase is repeated that many times, that's a Greek or Hebrew for you to sit up and pay attention to what he's saying. Repetition is key in the scripture, in the word of God. And he mentioned it four times, and this word hope, it just means to anticipate. It just means to expect. just to expect something. Paul said, we are saved by hope. Or rather, in the JMS transcription, that's the Jared Scott, in hope we are saved. Look at somebody and tell them, in hope we are saved. Yeah, in our expectation, in our anticipation, yet as it is seen, if it's seen, then it's not the expectation, because we already see it. Amen. The scripture does not tell us that faith cometh by seeing. It says that it comes by hearing, and by the hearing of the word of the Lord. My prayer is tonight that you hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to do my best to deliver what the Lord has laid on my heart. If you'll just stay with me, ride with me for a little while tonight. Amen. The Lord's going to help us. He's writing about hope. Hope not just in our salvation as it is to come, but as hope as in something we possess right now. We are looking for that blessed hope and appearing. Amen. But right now, it's not here yet. And so hope must be something that resides in you and I as Christians, as apostolics, as being born again. Not something that we see like the wind would blow through the trees. We see what it does to the trees and how it moves back and forth. But this hope must reside in you and I. Hope is that expectation that something is going to take place. Hope is the future tense. It's something that will become present in time. Amen. That's the hope that you and I are looking for. It is the hope of eternal life. It is the hope of heaven, that one day what we have always thought about as future tense will become present tense when this mortal shall put on immortality. Oh yes, Hebrews 11 says faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. I don't see it right now, but I hope for it. I believe the word of God, and I've got some expectations that one day when that trumpet sounds, if I've been right, if I've been living right and spitting white, the old timer said, that hope is going to come to fruition. No longer will it be future tense, but it will be present tense. Are you looking forward to going to heaven one day? Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be seated. Faith and hope work with one another. Faith and hope approve of one another. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Faith is grounded in the reality of the past. Stay with me for a few moments here today. Amen. You and I, we can take time in our lives to look back at things that God has worked for every one of us. Has God ever worked a miracle for you? Has God ever brought you through? Has God ever healed you or your family? Oh, yes. If we took time to tell the stories and testify, we would be here all night. Amen. But that is where faith is grounded. Amen. We get to a time in our life and we begin to wonder, God, do you hear my prayer? God, do you understand what's going on? But our faith would say, hey, buddy, open your eyes and look back. Look what he did last week when he put food on your table. Look back when he healed your baby. Look back when he brought you through and you kept you from that car accident on Kellogg where all the crazy drivers are. Oh, yeah. Look back at what I have done. Why would I fail you now? Let faith be grounded in what he has done. He has never failed us and he never will. You believe that today? He never will. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hope is looking to the reality of what will be in the future. Hope is looking to the future. I want to tell you that without faith, there is no hope. And without hope, there is no faith. They work hand in hand. Hope looks toward that future. Hope looks toward what's going to happen, what is to come. Amen. Man, I don't have time to read to you the whole story. Amen. But in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we see a familiar story to all of us. Amen. It's a story of David, and he's about to fight Goliath. I referenced it this morning, but long about verse 33, I believe it is. I didn't write it down, but we see Saul, he's talking to David. And he said, listen, you're a youth. You're just a young man, and this guy that you say you want to fight, He is not a young man, but he's been a warrior from a youth, the Bible says. You're a youth, and he's been a man of war from his youth. In other words, he's wanting David to look at present circumstances. In other words, he's saying, David, you don't stand a chance. You got to understand what voice is speaking when he's talking to David. This isn't the voice of reason. This isn't the voice of, I'm just stating facts. No. This is the voice of the enemy speaking through King Saul. We know what had just happened with Saul. Amen. And he's telling David, you don't stand a chance, buddy. You don't stand a chance because this man, he will destroy you. That is the voice of fear. That is the voice of doubt. That is the voice of unbelief. You and I, we know that voice. We've heard it speak to us from time to time in our lives. Oh, the fear of the giant had consumed Saul. He was at a place in his life. He had forsaken God. Amen. And he didn't believe. He had gone a different direction. And here he is. He's staring at the man who's going to deliver the nation of Israel. And he's telling him, there's no way you'll ever make it. There's no way. Imagine a king of Israel, of the nation. He's telling a little boy, amen, that God has anointed. Amen. He's telling him, you'll never make it. And by the human eye, it looked impossible, didn't it? We understand the story. Oh, but David, he was a man of honor. He was a man after God's own heart. Even as a young man, he began to speak back. He began to speak back. I can understand maybe he had some fear or trepidation when he heard those words that Saul began to speak to him. Amen. He's looking at a giant and he's just a young man. But we find David and he begins to speak back to those spirits of hell. He begins to talk back to those spirits of fear and of doubt and of disbelief. He said, no, buddy, listen. Hey, did you know fear and torment are not of God? Did you know fear and torment are not of God? My Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, it's time to stand up and talk back to the enemy. Oh, no. Thus saith the Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, David had some guts as a young man. He had some guts as a young man. He stood up to Saul and he said, you don't understand, buddy. As a young man, I've been watching sheep from my youth. And the lion came and the bear came and the Lord delivered them. And surely he's going to deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine who is defying the armies of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. David begins to call upon what had happened in the past. David's feeling that spirit of doubt and of fear beginning to grip his heart. And so he begins to reach back. Oh, no. I remember what happened. I remember when that lion came and stole a little lamb. I remember when that bear came and took a little lamb and the Lord delivered them. Oh, yes. He said, from the paw of the lion and the bear. Now if he had been just an old country boy like me, he thought, well, and he will deliver me from the paw of this big old giant too. Yeah, he will deliver me. There was no doubt in David's voice. He said, he will deliver me. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he will deliver you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, David called back on that faith. I remember a time. My God, you got to reach back sometimes. Sometimes life gets hard and things get ugly and people leave the church. I heard it said it's like a city bus. Some folks getting on, some folks getting off. Oh, yeah, things happen and people lose out with God. And the faithful saints of God are left wondering what on earth is going on. But you've got to reach back to that faith. You've got to reach back to that time when God brought you through and realize he will do it again. Oh, yes, he will. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord and give him praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got to reach back to those faith experiences. Amen. I encourage my family. I would encourage you. Write down things when God answers a prayer for you. Write it down. There was an old song, Brother Wurst, we used to sing years ago. And it said, write it all down. Every time Jesus failed you, write it all down when he made you cry. And when the book is all through, what will there be? And the song said, just empty pages with nothing to read. Amen. Write it down when God answers a prayer for you. Put a note next to it. This was an answered prayer. Write it down when a miracle happens in your family. Put a date next to it. Write it down when God fills somebody with the Holy Ghost. Write it down when God works a miracle. And then when the enemy of your soul would come against you, when the enemy of your soul would tell you it's not gonna work out, it's not looking good, you open up that little notebook and you say, look here, buddy, I remember the time when I was praying and the Lord brought this to pass. I remember the time when God worked a miracle when it looked bad. I call on this faith and I have hope that God will do the same thing yet again. Hallelujah. 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 Romans 15 and 13. The Bible says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah. Tell your neighbor, abound in hope. Abound in hope. Not just a hope that you carry around, but a hope that you live by. Yeah, a hope that you live by, abounding in expectation, abounding in expectation. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at somebody and tell them, I'm expecting. Oh, yeah. Smile. It's all right. It won't break your face. Yeah. Tell them, I'm expecting. I didn't say what you were expecting. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Now, I have a bit of experience when it comes to expectant mothers. At 18 years of age, I graduated as an EMT in Arkansas. And I spent 15 years as an EMT. And one of the very first calls that I ran on as soon as I graduated was a expectant mother. And we ended up delivering the baby there at her home. Now, for an 18-year-old boy raised in church with no TV and with sheltered life, Brother Micah, it was quite an experience. It was quite an experience, but that's a story for another time. Amen. So I have some experience. Amen. Amen. But can I tell you, if we just break it down, that pregnancy, that cycle, it comes with three separate and distinct parts, and that is creation, expectation, and delivery. Oh, yeah. I feel like preaching today. The Lord will just help us for a few more moments. The creation, the expectation, and the delivery. Amen. It certainly gives credence to that scripture in Psalm 139 that says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My, my, my. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. A mother who is with child, she's commonly referred to as expecting. Amen. Regardless of how far along she is, whether she's showing or not, how close to the deliverance she actually is, she is expecting. Amen. And as an expectant mother, everything in her life begins to change. Everything in her life begins to change. Can I tell you that you and I, as members of the body of the Christ, we're part of the church. We're part of the mother. Yes, we are the saints of God. We have a calling upon our lives. We are the church. And it's vital to the health of the mother that we are expecting. It's vital to the health of the mother that we are expecting. Oh, it's vital that we come to the house of God every service, whether it's midweek or Sunday morning, Sunday night, or prayer service or youth or whatever the case may be, with an expectation something's going to happen in the house of God today. It's not just another service. It's not just another time. Oh, but this could be the time that somebody's life is changed forever. Just one service, just a few minutes in the house of God can change a life forever. Oh, yes. It's vital to the health of the church that we are expecting. Yeah. Paul said in my text, this expectation that we have, we don't see it. We don't see it, but we with patience or perseverance wait for it. Amen. Amen. In the pregnancy, there's some groaning. There's some pain. There's some morning sickness. Sometimes there's evening sickness. But the mother pushes on. She's expecting. She pushes on through pain. She pushes on through the changes going on in her body. But she's expecting something to happen. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Things happen in church. Things happen in church. Things happen in our lives. There's high times. There's low times. There's seasons we go through. But we never can stop expecting what God is going to do. God is up to something. Even when I don't feel it, He's working. Even when I don't see it, He's working. Because He never stops working. He never stops working. And I want to be right in the middle of what He's doing. I want to do what I can do. And the least I can do is come with an expectation that God is going to work. Hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. The mother hasn't seen the child yet, but she knows that one day she's going to see her baby. She knows that one day she's going to hold my God. She's going to hold her baby for the first time, and she's looking forward to that day of deliverance when she holds her baby. There's an anticipation in the spirit and in the mind of the mama and in her body that one day soon I'm going to be delivered, and all those trauma, all that pain will be forgotten when I look into those tiny eyes for the very first time, because I'm expecting that baby to get here. Oh, yeah. The mother doesn't have a laissez-faire mentality when it comes to her baby. The mother doesn't have a laissez-faire, laid back, just whatever will happen to my baby. Oh no, it doesn't work with the mother, and it certainly doesn't work with the church. Oh yes, the mother will press through hard times, mental breakdowns, problems, pains, discomforts, distress for some 9 months until the baby arrives. Oh yeah, but she presses on. It's something bigger than just me right now. It's something bigger than just me. I'm a part of something much bigger than just me, myself. Can I tell you, saints of God, you're a part of something bigger than just you. We're a part of something bigger. It's the church of the living God. Oh, it's no time to lay back and let what will be, be. Oh no, it's a press on. It's an anticipation. Something's going to happen. Something's going to break loose. Somebody will receive what they need. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. I believe we ought to come to the house of the Lord expecting every single time. Amen. We're living too close to the coming of the Lord. We can't afford just to set through and let what will be, will be. Oh no, we don't believe that way. But we press towards the prize. We press towards the mark. We press on every day. We get up and we press on. In depression times, or low times, in high times, we press on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe you ought to come to church. You ought to ask your neighbor. You believe the Lord's going to move in a mighty way here tonight? You believe that the Lord's going to move in this house? You believe there's going to be divine intervention in this house? If they hesitate, you ought to jump up, move across the church. I ain't sitting by you. Ah, yeah, I caught you by surprise there, didn't I? No, I ain't sitting by you because I came expecting God to move here. It doesn't matter who's here. It doesn't matter who's not here. The Bible says if two or three are gathered together, there's a lot more than two or three here tonight. It doesn't matter if your favorite singer's here or not. It doesn't matter if your favorite musician is here or not. Oh no, the move of God is not predicated upon music. Amen. But when two or three are gathered together in His name, and they come with expectation, the Lord begins to move, just as He's doing a few moments ago when we're singing about praising the Lord. We come with expectation that the Lord will meet with us. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. Oh, why don't we lift our hands and just love Him here? Oh, God, You're a faithful God. I believe Your word is true. I believe Your word is true, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Glory to Your name. Life is too short. This life is too short just to come and set through and not receive what you want from God, what you need from God. Oh, yeah, we can't just afford to come and just set through service after service. There's too many times that we would let the enemy of our soul get us to a place where we just set through service after service. Well, God hasn't answered prayer for me in a while. Nobody's gotten the Holy Ghost in a while. You got to talk back to the enemy of your soul. No. I've got faith. I know what You've done in the past, and I've got hope looking forward to the future. I'm standing on Your promises, God. Your word is true. It is a strong foundation. The word of God is sure. Amen. Amen. We've got to stand on the word of the Lord. Too many times in our life we read the Bible. I hope you read your Bible every day. And sometimes we get to a point where we start reading the Word of God and we think, oh, the stories that it has and all the things that went on back then. But we've got to remind ourselves that the God we serve, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He did way back then, He'll still do today. What He did way back then, He is still doing today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And on Pentecost Sunday, amen, we were in revival at home in Shiloh. Amen. The Lord began to move. Amen. Our evangelist didn't even get to preach. And at the end, there were four young children under the age of 9 who were filled, gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost in one service. Brother Wurst, in 25 or 26 years that Elder Riley's been pastoring, there's never been four children in one service filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me God's not moving. Don't tell me God's not still pouring out His Spirit. You've come too late to tell me. I've already got it written down what God has done, and I refuse to sit back and just believe what will be will be. You've come too late to tell me God is not a faithful God, a prayer answering God. He is a very present help in time of trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm expecting the unexpected. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, I'm expecting the Lord to do something. Every prayer service, every time we gather together, prayers that I've prayed, dreams that I've heard, word of the Lord that has been delivered to me, there's some things I'm holding on to, and I simply refuse to let them go. Hallelujah. 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 I would to God that the spirit of Shammah would rise up in this last day and hour. Amen. Once again, I'm not going to take time to read the whole story. In 2 Samuel 23, I believe, Shammah, amen, he's a mighty man. There are only about three or four scriptures that actually even speak about him. Amen. But as the Philistines were coming in, amen, he recognizes there's a field here. It's been planted with beans and or lentils, and it's not even his field. But he just makes up his mind, I'm going to stand here in the middle of this lentil patch, because if they kill me, they kill me, but I'll go out with a sword in my hand. I'm not going to sit back and let the enemy run rampant over this field. I refuse to sit back and let the enemy run rampant in my mind. I refuse to sit back and let the enemy run rampant in my church. As for me, it ain't even getting to my house yet, but as for me, I'm going to fight on. I'm going to fight on because I'm expecting. My God, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can I tell you that when Shammah made the decision, no, I'm going to stand and fight. Everybody else left. Everybody else left. The voice of the majority left. Amen. The voice of the crowd left. And when it comes down to just you and God, sometimes you understand it's just you and God. Your pastor's not around. Other people, your family's not around. You don't feel like what's going on. And it's just you and God. Amen. But can I tell you, when Shammah made the decision, I'm going to stand and fight, what he didn't realize is that the unseen captain of the host said, okay, if you're going to stand and fight, buddy, then I'm going to stand and fight with you. You are not alone. You're not alone. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Oh God, give me the faith and expectation of Shammah. Give me the faith to stand in the middle, amen, and declare, I'm going to make my stand here. I'm going to make my stand here. I refuse. Amen. Shammah, he's standing in the middle of the field, and something rose up within him. Something rose up within him. I pray to God that would rise up in every one of us here tonight. God, give me the faith and the hope, the expectation of that man. Hallelujah. 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 I want to tell you that expecting mothers, they act differently. Oh, yeah. Well, we're just going to go on here for a few more moments. Your roast ain't going to burn. Hopefully you ate that this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Expecting mothers, they act differently. Oh, yes, they do. They're concerned about that baby that they're expecting. Hallelujah. Yeah, I spent 15 years as an EMT and 13 years as a police officer. Amen. I've worked many accidents, car accidents, and I've seen expectant mothers in car accidents. And I can tell you that not a single one of them were worried about a cut or a scrape or a bruise on their body. They weren't worried about a broken bone on their body. Now, all of them, regardless of color or age or anything else, regardless of any other factor, they all want to know one thing. What about my baby? What about my baby? What about my baby? Because I'm not worried about me right now. I'm in the middle of this 9-month battle, and I'm looking to be delivered when the time comes. But what about my baby? What about my baby? What about my expectation? What about your expectation? You ought to guard it with everything that you have. When the enemy will pop up his ugly head tomorrow morning. Those prayers you prayed are not coming to pass. What you've been believing for, it's not coming to pass. Those dreams that you had, they were dreams because you ate too much pizza the night before. You ought to open your mouth and say, no, I declare the word of the Lord. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood of the Lamb, because I'm expecting. My, my, my. My. Oh, come on. Why don't we just love the Lord here today? I feel His presence. Oh, God, we're expecting great things. We're expecting You to move, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Would you give me a few more minutes here? My wife says the older I get, the longer I preach, Brother Worthington. I cut it short this morning. I called for music at 33 minutes. If you would give me a few more minutes, I want to get somewhere here tonight. Amen. Amen. Mama will prepare for a child's arrival long before the baby ever gets there. Amen. The room, the furniture, they punish the poor dads with furniture in the baby's room. All the dads said amen. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I hope I never have to put together another baby bed. My Lord. It was so big, it wouldn't fit through the door. I had to take it apart when we moved. My God, help us. Amen. I don't want that old silly spirit to get on me here tonight. But they want the room right. They want the colors right. And they want the pictures on the wall to be right because they're concerned about the baby. They're concerned about what they're expecting. They're concerned about what's coming. They're making preparations because when it gets here, it's going to be too late to have all that done. We got to have that done. You come home from work, you're worn out. No, we got to paint the room. No, we got to get it arranged just right because soon the baby's coming. We got to have the bag packed. Our hospital bag's got to be ready to go. I need my favorite nightgown because soon the baby's coming and we're expecting. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's preparations that go into it. Oh, yeah. I'm expecting. When we come into the house of the Lord every single time, you ought to walk through those back doors. You ought to tell yourself, I'm expecting something to happen in this service tonight. I'm expecting a divine intervention of the Holy Ghost here tonight because the God I serve, He rides on the wind. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He is my sanctifier. He is my kinsman redeemer. And I just believe the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of the Lord. Yes, yes, yes. We could dive into it as deep as we want to. Expectant mothers eat differently. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they're eating for two. Yes, they are. Their body is sustaining that little life form. Amen. Oh, I feel like preaching here tonight. Can I tell you that the word of the Lord is the bread of life? Oh, yes, it is. How are you eating today? I slipped up on your blind side. How are you eating today? How do you respond when your pastor's preaching and bearing his soul? Are you eating like you're expecting something? Are you eating like you're full? Did you get full on Instagram? Did you get full on social media before you came to church? Or did you come with a hunger? I gotta have more of you, Jesus. I gotta have more of you, Jesus. As a baby desiring the sincere milk, I gotta have more. I'm not sustained. I need more because I'm expecting. Oh, Lord, help us here today. Lord, help us here today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They walk differently. I'm not making fun of any of our ladies today. Amen. Women are much tougher than men. I've come to realize that. Yeah, meaner too, but that's a different story. Look at somebody and tell them, smile, it's going to be okay. Yeah, they walk differently. A lady doesn't have to be 8 months along to know that she's expecting something because I'm going to carry myself in a manner that tells everybody who watches me, I'm expecting. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here today. I feel the Holy Ghost here today. You don't have to ask me if I'm expecting, because I want you to see how I worship. I want you to see how I pray. I want you to know that I am expecting something. You ought not have to ask me. I'm going to invite somebody to the house of the Lord because I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting something to happen. Hallelujah. We could go on and on here today, but let me wrap it up. If you're expecting, then you ought to act like it. If you're expecting, then you ought to prepare for it. Oh, yeah. Because I'm expecting. I'm expecting revival. I'm expecting growth in the Sunday school class. I'm expecting growth in the adult class. I'm expecting somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting the Lord to move in our children. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting healing. I'm expecting deliverance, because God is able and He is well pleased to work in the lives of His people. Do you believe God's still able? Do you still believe that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power? Oh, yeah. According to the power that worketh within you. Yeah, I know, the Holy Ghost. But what about the faith that's working within you? What about the hope that's working? Is it working in you today? Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Amen. Be seated. Give me 5 more minutes tonight. Mark chapter 2, it records the story of the man with the palsy. And his friends, they could not get him into the house. They couldn't get him in the house. And so, you know the story. They got him up on the roof and they begin to tear off the roof and they let him down into that space in front of Jesus. And that man was healed. He took up his bed and he walked out of there. Amen. But in verse number 12, Mark 2 and 12, it's recording that when the people left the house, when they left church that day, they said, the Bible says they were all amazed and they glorified God saying, we've never seen this before. We've never seen it on this kind before. We left the house of God saying, my God, didn't the Lord move today? They left the house of God saying, oh my God, I can't wait to get back on midweek service. Did you see what was going on? Did you see sister so-and-so? Did you see brother so-and-so? I've never felt the Holy Ghost move like that before. My. With faith grounded in the past and hope for the future, we ought to come to every service saying, my. Oh, do you remember what the Lord did? Do you remember how He brought us through? Do you remember that miracle that He worked? Oh, I want to leave church saying the same thing. Wow, I've never seen the Lord move like that before. My God, didn't He work in our midst tonight? Oh, God, would you build our faith? Let faith arise in our hearts tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want to ask you tonight, what are you expecting? I'm not trying to be rude or ugly to anybody here tonight. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to my family tonight. What did you expect in the house of the Lord tonight? What did you come expecting tonight? What did you come expecting this morning? Yeah, I know things get a little weird and awkward when pastor's gone and things move about. I'm not worried about any of that. Oh, I know in whom I have believed. I just want to ask you tonight, what did you come expecting? What did you come expecting? What did you come believing for? What dreams have you been holding on to? What word of God have you been holding on to? What have you been praying for? What have you been praying for? The world will tell you that you've got unrealistic expectations. That never happens. Miracles never happen. The miraculous never happens. That they don't know the God you and I know. They don't know the God I serve. Oh, we're standing on the promises of God. If it's written in this old black book, honey, then it is not an unrealistic expectation. It's a promise. It's a promise from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. My wife to come to the piano today. For Abraham, it took some 25 years from the time of the promise. For David, it took some 15 years after he was anointed until he became king. For Joseph, it took some 13 years from the dream until he was appointed ruler. What are you saying, Brother Scott? I'm just telling you, get your focus off of the time. Get your focus off of the problem and put your focus into expectation. Look back and draw on faith and past miracles that God has worked. Look back to when God has brought you through and kept his hand on you and brought you out unto marvelous day. And then with expectation, look forward in your prayer, in your worship. Oh, in everything that you do, I'm expecting God to move. Hallelujah. There's one key element. There's a vehicle that will take you as an individual, that will take you as a church family. It will take us from promise to fulfillment. Look at somebody and tell them, from promise to fulfillment. From dream to reality. And that is expectation. That is expectation. I want to ask you today, what are you expecting? What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Do you have the faith and the hope to see it? Your pastor, his vision, do you have the faith and the hope to see it? Oh, do you secretly say, oh, Pastor Cowan, yeah, that's a great idea, but I just don't see it ever happening. I don't know. I don't know what his vision is for the church, but I'll bet you a dollar it's to have revival and to see souls saved and to see the lost found and to see somebody find Jesus. Do you have the faith and the hope to see it today? What does your prayer sound like? What are you praying for? What are you praying for? Are there some dreams you're holding on to? Are there some things God has spoken to you that, can I tell you, hold on. Hold on to the dream. Hold on to the vision. Don't let it go. I'm expecting God to move. I'm expecting God to move. Maybe it hasn't come to pass yet. But God is able. God is able. And he will never fail. Oh, why don't you lift your hands to the Lord and give him praise here tonight? Oh, yeah. Don't give up on the promise. Don't give up on the dream. Don't give up on the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. It takes just one moment for everything to change. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, it can all change. Don't give up on a lost soul. Don't give up on a Sunday school kid. Don't give up on your neighbor that you've been witnessing to. God will surely bring it to pass. They are exceeding great and precious promises that we have been given. Expect God to move. Expect God to move. Every time you walk through the door, I'm expecting revival. I'm expecting a move of God. I wonder if you wouldn't just lift your hands to the Lord and just tell the Lord, I'm expecting God. I believe your word, God. I'm expecting you to move. I'm expecting the miraculous. Come on, why don't we lift our voices to the Lord right now? Oh, I feel His presence here in the house. Oh, take hope. Take faith. Let faith arise in your heart tonight.